Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The Tuesday edition, the rain go away. Jordan Love doesn't want his stool.
Boy, I don't want to slip on the cold little wet grass.
You're gonna be all right, Jordan. You're gonna be all right with that turf toe on that wet grass. You better take a day, take a beat.
Jordan Love doesn't want to have his balls get wet on the stool.
That's dirty.
Where he's taking the snaps from. With a baggie on his left hand edition. How did that second game of the doubleheader go? I didn't catch that.
Got rained out.
Yes, I know.
Got rained out.
Indeed. Got to see Tausch with Vinny and the boys this morning on my Twitter feed. That was fun to happen to just catch that.
Oh.
God, what a great team those guys have on 620 WTMJ edition. And the... Looks like Jesse's got a story. I didn't get a "I've got the open" from Jesse text message, but it looks like he might have the open edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and, of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can download in both the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is back in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And so is the Packers Hall of Famer. Repping UW Credit Union.
What?
Waiting for Bucky to give him a concussion.
What?
Is Mark Tauscher.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What?
No.
What? Represent?
Not familiar with that.
That's new to you?
That is new to me. I didn't know. Is that in one of your... I got an email with you in it from UW Credit Union.
Let's go.
It did not say what
in the subject. What? It did say, what are you repping? What? Absolutely.
Hi. Yeah, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great, Jesse.
You're a little nervous about the wet grass?
I'm not. I brought a second shirt and a second pair of socks in case I get wet if it rains again.
I don't think it's supposed to rain. A little pair of waterproof boots.
No, I'm back to regular shoes with my turf toe. I got my Nike Air Max 270s. Red ones for my...
Anybody else feel like now when someone else has a turf toe and they miss more than a week, I'm going to start wondering, well, Wilde, it only took him 4 days and he was back? Like, that's legit how I'm feeling.
Yeah, they're playing a little more intensely than I am walking to and from practice.
To and fro.
It's great to be back. You're in a mood. Are you in a mood?
No, I'm not in a mood.
And not a bad mood.
Hey, by the way, sorry for bringing energy and pop to the show. I could definitely. So Jesse,
what?
Jesse, tell us what happened. You missed the show, which again, God bless you. You are a beauty.
Just out of curiosity, old tea.
Yes, sir.
Did you want me to do like half the show and then go out to Nakoma Golf Course yesterday? Because it was a remote. It wasn't like we were in the studio here and I was preparing for this. Mm-hmm. We were on location. Mm-hmm. It was the season premiere of the Barry Alvarez show with Tarek Salah, Derek Engler on ESPN Madison.
Sure.
I am hosting it this year.
This is your baby now, all year.
Yep. I am taking over hosting responsibilities for this year. So yesterday was our premiere episode.
Okay.
Barry had some insightful things to say already out of the gates. All excited for what he's gonna bring again here in season two of being our teammate at ESPN Wisconsin. Did you want me to show up late to that and do the show here? Did you want me to how did you want me to go?
Yeah, I think you're gonna work till 11 and then had Hunter take it. It doesn't take an hour to get over to the country club that you were at, so yeah, you could have worked till 11 and then bounced over there. Sure.
And you would have preferred that instead of just rolling with Hunter,
man,
for the you would have rather I play the opener role and then we go to the pen at 11 o'clock and bring in Hunter to close it out.
I thought Hunter did a fine job yesterday. This isn't an indictment of Hunter. This is you figuring out ways to work as little as you have to. And that's part of your brand. So I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying to act as if it's outrageous for you to come in and do 66% of the show, I don't think that's an outrageous bit. That was it.
I did consume the majority of the show, and that I missed, I did watch back on YouTube last night.
Okay.
Job was injury prone.
Do those count
my personal
for your hours?
Yeah, Job injury prone was one I didn't have on my bingo card. And then somebody got swallowed by a whale. I don't remember who Jonah was. I know Jonah, but I'm trying to remember which
fish.
Packer. Yeah,
yeah,
there was something. So.
We do have a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I was thinking we could do a reading each day if you would like to do that. So that was my thought as I was watching that back last night.
I'm all in. So, okay. I'm on board. All right, so what happened yesterday? You see the ball, coach. And it sounds like looking at I actually have a show sheet.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, when our general manager is in the office with me talking, Jesse is like coming in and handing me stuff. If he's gone, Jesse ain't bringing me this today. Period. Finn. Is that fair?
He's like never gone. So no, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay. All right. Get us to Barry. What do we got?
Not in the mood at all.
No, bringing the energy.
I'm not.
He's bringing the energy.
I'm sorry. You guys want me to sit here all pouty and like down?
No, I just don't want you to be accusatory and kind of rude and making judgments of us out of the gate.
Judgmental, yes. Rude, no. We analyze things. It's what I do. I'm an analyst.
He's an analyst.
I analyze the scenarios. All right, continue.
It's not a bad mood. It's just a mood. That's all. And you've gotten after both of us in the first 7 minutes, I think was the point.
Yeah, you guys, it's just what you guys do. Okay, go ahead, Jess.
What?
As I tried to get you.
Baby with the rain and the water on the
Jesse, that Hunter, who disagrees with me on the color of the sky.
Yep.
He agreed with me yesterday.
I heard that. Yeah.
The fact that Jason was. He was so nervous. That poor little Jordan was out there practicing, and he thought it was ridiculous that he was out there.
Juice not worth the squeeze.
You disagree or you agree with Jason?
I agree with Jason.
That's not shocking.
I mean, what's the point if he's out in the race? If he's wearing a bag over his
thing. What's the point?
He threw
12 passes in a 7-on-7 competitive drill where he can continue to stay sharp throwing the football. I think there's some value in that.
Or
yes.
It might be drier today and just do it today.
Oh, is there never going to be a wet football when he's playing?
We talked about Mike McCarthy not making adjustments a lot of times. LaFleur didn't make the practice adjustment yesterday.
They put a bag over his calf.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I love it. All right. Can we please get to your Alvarez story?
So we're over at Nakoma Golf Course yesterday down here
in Madison.
Is there
ice cream?
Yeah, I think they do. Ice cream drinks, potentially. So, wonderful day. Gilda's Club.
Great club.
That's Cindy's deal.
Yes, yep. Barry and Cindy Alvarez, part of the origin story of Gilda's Club in Madison, helping families with close loved ones battling cancer. A great cause. So we were out there yesterday as part of our celebration to kick off the Barry Alvarez show at this big golf outing for Gilda's Club. And we were set to be on the air from noon to 2.
And by the way, we got out on time yesterday.
You did, and we appreciated that. We were able to get started right on time. It was wonderful.
Hunter is a stickler. He is a real stickler.
Would have appreciated a couple extra minutes yesterday, actually, and here's why. So we're getting set up, and I know you were playing meteorologist for us near the end of yesterday's show. Just as we were getting set up on the little terrace area they have outside the clubhouse overlooking a couple of the holes at Nakoma Golf Course, the siren blares.
It's calling. Noon. Yeah, it's noon.
No, it was not the noon siren. It was calling all the golfers back into the clubhouse because there was a torrential downpour and a severe thunderstorm watch in effect. So we had just gotten all of our equipment set up because I got there early because I missed the show here yesterday.
You had 4 hours to prep.
I've heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we had just gotten everything set up. We went fire drill mode for our live radio, where that happens, where you scrap everything down, and we booked it into the clubhouse and set up in one of the corners, and it was very easy. We got going, and we were all able to get started. It was a great setup. Mm-hmm. First hour of the show is awesome. We actually, all the people were inside waiting through the rain delay of the golf outing. So we actually had a great crowd kind of tuning into our Barry Alvarez show season debut. And we had a great conversation about expectations for the season, leadership, all kinds of good stuff.
Mm.
So then about halfway through, they decide that this program that they were going to do with dinner after the conclusion of the golf outing.
Do it while it's raining.
While it's
Smart.
Raining.
Smart! Great adjustment yes. by the program director.
Absolutely. So it might as well make the adjustment.
Absolutely.
While everybody's
Smart.
Waiting to see if we're going to get back out on the golf course or if they're going to end up calling it early. So,
how do we feel about doing the program before golf at these events? I love it. We'll continue.
Maybe. Depends on the program, I suppose. So we were at a golf outing earlier this year where we were on the air in the Dells when Gilbert Brown and I forgot who else was up there with them were yelling to you while they were doing their presentation.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a fun part of the show.
And it was a similar situation. It was raining outside that morning, so everybody was in. We were inside. And
nine-hole outing, which was great.
Ended up being a little chaotic, but in all the good ways. So yesterday, similar situation. They decide they're going to start this program while everybody's waiting through the rain delay around 1:15. Well, we're doing a show in the corner at 1:15. And it gave me a lot of vibes of what we had earlier this May to kick off our Wilde and Tausch summer tour. Where, okay, we're going to be over here doing our show. We're not going to want to be too loud. Use our indoor golf announcer voices because there might be there's a program going on and we don't want to interrupt everybody listening to it. But we're pretty far enough away where we should be okay if we keep it down. Well, then we had flashbacks to the very infamous SportsCenter update from many years ago.
Oh, no.
So
heartfelt, emotional.
Yeah. We
it's a real tricky deal.
We took a break on our Barry Alvarez show while they were doing a large portion of the program, and then Jeffrey from Celebrations Entertainment was on site because of course it's an event in Madison, so Jeffrey's there.
Jeffrey,
and he was running a live auction, so Derek and Barry and I were like, okay, I think we're good to come back on here. Let's go ahead and while they're doing the live auction, we can talk about the Badgers' schedule for the coming season. Some of the it's a daunting schedule, but you want to step up to the challenge, and we had a good breakdown of that for a few minutes. Well, after the live auction got done a lot sooner than we expected, a couple of special guests come up to talk. And it was straight out of that golf outing we were at a number of years ago where I'm doing a SportsCenter update with my back turned to the crowd, telling everyone that Wisconsin's a 14-point favorite against Michigan with an 11 a.m. kickoff Saturday at Camp Randall. We're talking about the schedule in October with Iowa, Ohio State, Oregon as back-to-back-to-back games.
That's a gauntlet.
While there's a couple, a father and son stepping up to the podium to talk about a cancer battle.
That's tough. That's a delicate situation
so
you're in.
Found us in that situation all over again.
And how did your experience the last time?
You learned lessons.
Shape.
Let's see what
how you
did.
Approached it this time.
Great question, Jason.
Time to end the show. Thanks for coming along. It's the Barry Alvarez Show. We'll see you next week.
You shut it down?
We shut it down. Yeah. We shut it down. That was it.
Tough
you just
call.
Ended the show 45 minutes
we,
early?
Well, it was like 1:35, 1:40 at that point.
Were you supposed to do 2 hours or one?
We were going to be on until 2. Now, we were on YouTube only for a stretch because the Brewers started on ESPN Madison.
Certainly.
So we were only on YouTube. And so we had some creative freedom to, you know, with the program that was going
show.
On. We played some recorded interviews from some Badgers content we've collected all summer long. And
what did the old ball coach have to say? He say shut it down?
He was ready. Yeah, he's good idea. Good idea. We had you know done our part at okay. that point.
He
ready
told
to
you good idea. That had to feel good.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Time the old ball coach gives you an attaboy. That's pretty good.
We were in good shape yesterday. Yep. So we quit.
That might be the one time quitting is worth it.
Yeah. Didn't flinch. Just quit.
Never flinch.
Didn't say anything about quitting and don't flinch.
Don't flinch.
Just quit.
Yep.
Well, I asked one of my favorite, you know, Barry's joined us a bunch. One time when he had to refute his own passing, which was really awkward when Jason's like, hey, good to see you. We didn't know you were around. That was one of the more awkward appearances that Barry had.
Come on. That was funny,
it, no,
though.
It was funny. I'm not disagreeing. But there was one that I asked, what do you do if you got a bunch of flinchers on your team? And that's he just said, you got to wipe it. You got to go get a whole new team. Can't have any flinchers on your squad.
So, Jesse, overall, since this was your first show as the permanent host of the Barry Alvarez Show, how do you think it went? And would it be smart of you to show up next week with an earring?
hang on, I gotta find that picture for us here. I thought it was very good. I thought we had a very good show while we were on the air. And then when we had to step away, we had to step away. But I thought he offered some great insights on Luke Fickell. He offered some great insights on the schedule and the mentality for the team coming into the season. Leadership has been a big conversation point for Coach Fickell and many of the members of the coaching staff in some of these preseason interviews that I'm sure Old T is well aware of. So we talked a lot about that, and I think it's provided a great overview. Next week, we're going to dive deeper into like what it's going to look like getting up for Miami, Ohio, and Thursday night at Camp Randall to kick off the season. But it was a great tone setter for the season. We had a great show yesterday, and I highly recommend you check it out on the ESPN Wisconsin app or on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
2 hours of great insight.
Well, an hour and...
Hour and 35 minutes.
Yeah, hour 25-ish, okay. But it was all said and done, yeah.
Sure. All right, good stuff.
All right, well, we look forward to that all season long. I'm sure that there was a clip or two that you've already clipped to play on our show, so Tausch and I can react to it as well.
Yeah, you want to hear one?
Because I know you were grinding.
Well,
we sure.
Later.
If we get around to it later.
Yeah, sure. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
What?
What do you have to say about
Pella Windows
and Doors
of Wisconsin?
You guys are in a
mood. You guys are in such a mood. I'm in a great mood because use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And for long-lasting comfort and reliability, it's easy to trust Pella. Each piece specifically constructed for your home and always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance, and built to create long-term energy savings. No reason to wait, because if you order by August 31st, zero interest for up to 60 months. That's up to 5 years, no interest payments. Don't miss this deal. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions to apply.
We'll get ready to talk to Evan Cohen, and we'll talk a little bit about Jordan Love's wet return.
I'll tell you what, can I
practice.
Tease? Can I tease?
I would, yes, absolutely. Of course
right,
you can.
So I finished working out this morning, driving home, and Adam Schefter is on Sportsmanlike on Tuesdays. And he said something that blew Canty's mind, and I think Packer fans should be very intrigued by what that news was. We'll play that and discuss.
We will.
Hopefully. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All right, you got me?
Oh, yeah.
The big teaser teased us out. Question now is, does he remember what he teased?
I do remember what I teased, because I know people are like, oh, this is all clickbaity, and this is, you know, there was a report last week that Ian Rappaport put out about Micah Parsons, and he put out about the fact that the Green Bay Packers are intrigued by it. And I know it's easy to poo-poo. I will say this. The Cowboys are idiots if they get rid of Micah Parsons.
No doubt.
You want to know something? Cowboys do idiotic things. They do. I can't wait for – I think Jerry Jones' deal's out on Netflix. I just saw a clip calling the Packers' loss with Jordan Love as the quarterback the most heart-wrenching, disappointing loss in the history of the Cowboys franchise. That makes us feel good. Gut punch them. So I don't think they would ever trade a star player like that to G&G. But the fact that Adam Schefter, who again is as dialed in as anybody, had this to say on Unsportsmanlike makes me think that this opportunity is going to be available, and whether the Packers can win the bidding war for it, that's another question. But this did cause a stir, at least in my eyes. Jesse, hit it.
I just think that, you know, Dallas always has drama. Jerry loves the drama. He likes to create the drama. And there's going to be drama with this now and going forward. For all I know, the two sides decide to sit down at the bargaining table and they hammer out a deal that makes Micah the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Could that happen? Yes. There's zero indication, zero, that that's going to happen, that there's going to be a reverse. And it sounds like at some point in time, whether that's now, after the season, after two seasons, it sounds like the two sides are headed towards a divorce at some time.
Whoa. If you're Dallas, and this is true, and why would Schefter make this up? He's not. Things can change, as he said. The Cowboys could say, just like Myles Garrett asked for a trade, and but the Cleveland Browns were steadfast saying no. Have you heard? Has Jerry Jones come out right and said he ain't trading him? I've heard some of the Cowboys folks say that that might not happen. Dallas ain't going anywhere. Dak's getting older. The Green Bay Packers have the cap space to do this deal with Micah. They could figure it out. And especially if they end up having to trade, if they are going to do this trade, Rashawn Gary or Lucas Van Ness is probably going back over to Dallas. Just as I wanted to get Khalil Mack back in the day, Micah Parsons, this isn't Trey Hendrickson. This isn't a 1 or 2 year potential. Right. This is a star in their prime that will be highly motivated. I think if Green Bay can, I think they should ramp up their efforts, because it sounds as if there's some availability, which I didn't think a week ago. This clip this morning makes me think, will Dallas actually do this? And today is the first time I'm kind of like, maybe they will, Jeff. Maybe they will.
Micah Parsons is in the fifth year option year of his rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
He is guaranteed a base salary of $24 million.
Correct.
Now, I was among the things that perked my ears up there was Adam hedging on whether it's before the season, after the season, 2 years from now, they're headed for a divorce. I'm curious about that, because that would imply that they would play hardball with him and not trade him before the season, and then not trade him or franchise tag him after the season and keep him for another year in a disgruntled state.
He ain't going to play. He won't play under that. So that's why I don't think that's in play.
Right. So it makes me think that this is, again, continued posturing. I heard what Ian Rappaport said on, because I don't think he's actually reported anything. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what he did, he was talking and giving kind of his opinion. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy played it for me this morning on McAfee. And that was where Ian Rappaport said that, you know, the Packers would make sense, that there's a, that would be the, because remember, the difference between this and TJ Watt or this and Trey Hendrickson, those guys have had their 30th birthday.
Micah fits what Goody does.
Exact. Thank you. Thank you for finishing my sentence.
You're welcome.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. He does. This makes way more sense. Now, the price tag is high, but you were saying when we were talking about Trey Hendrickson during the offseason, well, not only do you have to give up capital to acquire him, you also have to pay him a very large sum of money and pay him a new contract.
And it's against your core principles of doing that. The second part of that, if Trey Hendrickson was 25 or 26 like Micah is,
correct,
you don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Goody has his baselines. He will go outside of the lines very rarely. And by the way, when he has, it hasn't worked. When he's went outside the lines, it has not worked for him. So this would be a case. Again, I just don't think, if I'm Dallas, I sign him and just move on with my life. But if you're going to rebuild, and it feels like if Dallas has another bad, that's where they're headed, you could get, and if you're Green Bay, I know we love draft picks. I know we hold on to them. We clutch them. We love them. They're so nice because they're cheap, and there's a lot mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. But if you can get a transcendent player, a field tilter, a bullseye guy, however you want to, and Micah,
make
no mistake,
that.
Is that in the prime of his career, and you end up paying him $41 million a year, yes, that's a lot, you do it.
It's only $16 million more a year than you're paying Rashawn Gary, and he's a better player.
Yeah, and you'll find a way to structure it. Again, you would not make this trade without signing Micah Parsons to a deal.
Correct.
That is not going to happen. So that will be part of this equation. I don't think it will happen, but I'm telling you, you just feel like there's more. It feels as if it's trending that way, and again, everything can change. You have a lot of jockeying at this time of year, 2 weeks left before the season really gets going. And once the season starts and if nothing has happened, that's when all of a sudden those antennae go up and you're like, all right, maybe we can go get him. And if you're Green Bay, do you give up? There's no doubt you give up one of the guys and a first-round pick, and then it's what else?
Mm-hmm.
How deep will you go? I feel like you could probably give up two firsts and a player and feel like you're going to get your bang for your buck for a 4 or 5 year run here with Micah Parsons. That you don't find guys like this. You just don't. And if they're available in their prime, just like you would ask, what the hell were the New York Giants doing with Xavier McKinney? You would be having that conversation with Micah. Like, why on earth did they do this? That's the conversation you'd be having.
As I told Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, given the return to concern about third-round picks, they could probably throw in a couple of third-round picks in the future as well, now that Marshawn Lloyd is injured again. It just seems like that is the round where Goody is just snake-bit, other than Tucker Kraft, who has been a great third-round pick. All right, we need to get to Evan Cohen. Tausch needs to tell us about Kohler Services first.
Indeed, I do. If you are looking for a bath or shower remodel, our friends at Kohler Services have you covered, and this month only. Zero interest financing for 12 months, and you get that free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. My new friend Chris from Ooseburg, just one of the many skilled installers who will demo your existing bath or shower, remove it, dispose it, and then install your brand new dream shower. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com. Request your free quote with fast professional installation. That is always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I'm throwing caution
You hear him every weekday with Michelle Smallman, Chris Cansey, Rob Lorenzo, and the whole crew on Unsportsmanlike. And every Tuesday, you hear him with us. It is Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Jason, Tausch, Jesse, how are you guys?
Super. We are. Tausch is in a great mood.
Quick question for you, Evan. If you're doing a show with Barry Alvarez and you're getting all this great insight, you're hosting it. It's a great break for you, right, as a young up-and-coming producer slash host. And the golf outing that you're hosting at gets brought inside and they start doing kind of those emotional cancer surviving stories. And you're inside. How would you broach that as a host? As you're doing a live broadcast?
Okay, good question. So I think that, first of all, let's not even say the up-and-coming broadcaster. If you said to me today, I mean, I would like to think I'm still up-and-coming. All three of us are up-and-coming.
Never peaked.
Just say, we could do a show with Coach Alvarez. I mean, you'd run there. You'd sprint there as quickly as you can. So that in itself is amazing because Coach Alvarez is only doing one show, and that's obviously on ESPN.
It's
Wisconsin.
The Barry Alvarez show. Yeah, it's a big hit.
You'd want to get there early, right?
Definitely not do your normal job and leave 4 hours early and then actually only get there just in time and then have to move out. But that's another story.
Okay, so in this scenario, so we're supposed to do the show outside of this nice event.
Yep.
We're brought in inside where the actual ceremony is going on. And thus, you're asking the question, do we want to be, you know, you don't want to be too loud in that spot. Mm-hmm. So, tricky. Mm-hmm. You do a couple of things. One, you try to find a different location within that thing.
Sure.
If you can't, maybe you bring on the person who's running the whole thing. You interview that person, and that person does your bidding for you. So, in other words, let's say Jason's running this event, right? We bring on, all right, here's Jason Wilde, who's in charge of the fundraising. He's going to join us, whatever, whatever. And then on the way out, you say, Jason, by the way, do us a favor. Can you tell your guests why we're so loud here and how we're supporting this cause? Ooh. Have someone else do your bidding in an honest, moral, ethical
way. That would have been really good.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah, how did you handle it, Jesse?
Not like that.
We quit.
What do you mean you quit?
What do you mean? Could he not be more clear? He quit.
We did.
So you just stopped the show.
He shut the show off.
We did a really good show for 75 minutes, and then we took a 15-20 minute break. We came back on for another 10 minutes during the live auction. We didn't know that there was going to be a very sentimental speech after the live auction. And once we got done with the live auction, we said, "Yeah, that's enough. We're done."
Wait a minute. What's the allotted time for the show?
We were scheduled to be there from noon until 2 Central Time, and we ended up calling it about 1:45. One of the perks was we were on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, so we were not obligated to go until 2 o'clock for radio programming purposes. So we had a little more creative freedom
that
than we normally
it was
would
120,
have.
Now it's 1:40. Did you notice that, Jason? He's moved it from 1:20 to 1:40.
I did notice.
Let me out something that's obvious to everyone that's listening, but just to reiterate. In case people don't realize, hosts on our shows get paid. Barry Alvarez is a host.
Mm-hmm.
He gets paid.
Yeah.
Jesse, was that reduced or increased rate that Coach Alvarez got paid yesterday approved by anyone? Because let's just do it in fake numbers. Let's say someone makes $10 an hour, right? Thus, $20 for 2 total hours. Well, in this scenario, it sounds like Coach Alvarez made $20 for an hour, 20. And Jesse, as the host of the show, I've hosted a million shows. I've never had the budget power to make decisions like that. It's interesting that you do. How did you garner that without asking for any permission?
Coach deserved a little attaboy. I think he's done a pretty good job for us. He's had some viral clips go over the last year or so.
Well,
we're going to have a bunch this
nobody
year.
Nobody even intimated that he wasn't worth it. I guess what I'm asking is, how did you get to decide what he's worth?
Oh, good question.
Oh, I don't decide anything for Coach Alvarez. He's
you did
let's
yesterday.
Let's be clear about that.
Hey,
Coach Alvarez said, good call.
It is.
That's good call.
Jason, hold on. Neutral observer, yep. Jason Wilde. Did Jesse Nelson decide what Coach Alvarez's hourly hosting rate was yesterday as not approved by those in charge of setting his hourly rate?
I'm gonna just slightly defend Jesse here, because the pay scale part of this equation never crossed my mind, so I can see how he never thought about that. But the answer to your question is a resounding yes. He definitely did.
All right.
Coach Alvarez got a raise yesterday.
He deserves it. He's been battling. All right,
Sometimes
Evan.
Sometimes money's no object.
So something you said this morning on your show, or something your guest, Adam Schefter, said, you said Canty, like, jump turned, eyeball emoji from you. I think Packer fans, we have not really even jumped in this idea that Micah Parsons could be available, because I think we all are just looking like the Cowboys aren't that dumb. Are you sensing, after you heard that today, like I am, that he might actually be available for a team to come and grab?
Well, Tarish, thank you for listening to that. Yeah, that was a big one today, because I have been of the belief that all of the stuff that the Cowboys do is for show, right? How do you grab the headlines? Oh, by the way, today the miniseries or
that
documentary, whatever it is.
That looks real good.
Out on Netflix. It does. By the way, the Chiefs one, so I've been watching that too. That the Kingdom on ESPN Plus is phenomenal also. Oh, by the way. So, like, there's a lot of good football documentaries out right now. So it does come out today, right? Which I think you have to set it up that way, because there has to be an acknowledgement that Jerry Jones, and he's admitted it, loves the headlines, loves the attention. And if you remember a year ago, when the Dak Prescott contracts got done, it was literally on the opening Sunday of the NFL season that Adam reported it during Sunday NFL countdown, which means Jerry Jones took the drama literally up until the last minute. So that has been my assumption this entire time with this situation. That said, everyone involved today, outside of me, feels it's now different. I still am going to hang my hat on it's for show and not for real. Canty thinks it's for real. Shefty said it was for real. So they're all saying that this one is different. My guesstimation is, while Micah Parsons has pretty heavy feelings, not in a positive way, towards Jerry Jones right now, if Jerry Jones puts in front of him generational wealth, making him the highest paid defensive player ever in the history of the sport, is he going to really turn that down? So I don't believe he will, knowing nothing about Micah Parsons. But I will tell you, if you just go to the dark web and the internet scuttlebutt that is completely unfounded as of this moment and completely not sourced by people like Adam or like Jason, the Packers name comes up a lot. So it's not like you're throwing out something, Tausch, that the internet is not talking about, but you are throwing out something that at this moment – credible sourcing has not reported.
Yeah,
and is that fair, Jason? In the way I categorize
that, think that
perfectly.
And Jason, I just, before you jumped on, discuss this, because there's, listen, man, we are always going to find Packer angles, and sometimes it makes sense. The Trey Hendrickson part of it never makes sense to me, because he's 30 years old. This does make sense, because this is the type of player Goody wants. Goody is not afraid to pay guys at their position top dollar if they're in their prime. Micah Parsons is going into his prime. Just like when we went and got Xavier McKinney. Now, we didn't have to give up draft picks and players, but this fits. And I think the idea that there is a possibility, while I would normally poo-poo and say it's not happening, and I would bet that this doesn't happen, I would argue that if there is an option to go pull the trigger and do this, the Green Bay Packers should be heavily involved in any of the discussions that go, and hopefully find a way to make this thing happen.
So let me ask you a question, both of you, on this. And you're going to have to help me, because I don't know the Packers like you do. Give me the name of a young player on the Packers defense who other teams would think is good, but the Packers would be willing to trade. Just give me a name.
Would it be Lucas Van Ness? I think Rashawn Gary's probably too old at this point.
You know what? Let's do both of them, Tausch.
What is
that? Let's use both of them.
What was that?
I have no idea.
Oh,
I thought that was Jason's on his app.
So here we go.
I thought that was some Lucas Van Ness music.
How about this, guys? Two first rounders, so 26 and 27, a second rounder in 26, Van Ness and Gary, for Micah, and you have to make him the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the sport.
Probably a little steep. I think one player you pick, and then I mean you're going to pay him. That's baked into the cake. You're going to pay him if you're doing this. You're not giving up both guys, though. I think you'd let Dallas pick who they would want out of that group. Jason?
Yes, I would agree that you would let them choose which one they wanted. At the same time, neither one of those guys is Micah Parsons, and neither one of them, I feel very confident, as much as Lucas Van Ness has shown improvement, is going to become Micah Parsons. So I would be...
Okay, so then why would you then fight that off? You know what I'm saying?
Because you have to have someone who's going to benefit from Micah Parsons being on the other side, right? Because you look at what let's go really old school. Reggie White gets here, and Sean Jones is more productive. Santana Dotson is more productive. Gilbert Brown is more productive, right?
I always thought Sean Jones was a crazy underrated player, by the way.
I would agree. I would agree, but his numbers still, he still would tell you that he benefited, obviously, from Reggie being here. And I would argue that if they were to do this, and I don't think this is hyperbole, because this guy is a potential future Pro Football Hall of Famer. He hasn't done it for as long as Reggie had when he arrived here in 93. But this is the same thing, except you got Reggie White younger.
Let me do it this way. You're going to take out something. So which guy would you like to take out and keep on the team?
I get to choose who I'm trading?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a counter once you do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm willing to give up Rashawn Gary. But again, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm looking at Rashawn Gary going, this is not even, given his production, a poor man's Micah Parsons. They're not in the same.
So now let's do it this way. Micah said that contract that's been put in front of Micah that I said I can't imagine him turning down. Let's say he turns down, right? Because that's what Adam's saying is there's a chance that there's a divorce here. The divorce only happens when Micah turns it down because I'm still of the belief Jerry's going to put it in front of him. So now we make the trade to Green Bay, a 1-26, a 1-27, a 2-26, Rashawn Gary, and a 5-27.
I don't know what exactly you're the NBA guy. I mean, Tausch fancies himself the NBA guy. But we can agree that the Dallas Mavericks, who now obviously have Cooper Flagg, but the Dallas Mavericks did not get sufficiently what they should have gotten for Luka Doncic.
No, they
right?
did not. No.
You don't say.
What I'm saying is that I don't know what that would have been, but it's way more than what they got in return. What exactly is fair? Like, when you give that scenario, is that still enough?
Well, okay, so when you say it's a good question, and it's funny, Canty and I had a similar argument off the air today because we were debating, like, because I would, you know, Elliot Wolf, former Packers exec, obviously, made the comments about the Patriots, like, yeah, we'd be willing to give up a first or a second. And everybody's like, oh, I love this. They're going all in. And I'm like, I don't. And I'm a Pats fan. It's like, what are you going in all in for? Does that make you close enough to a title, like, where – I would never give up a first if I'm then for McLaurin. I would never give up a first for Trey Hendrickson because I don't think I'm that close. Mm-hmm. So value is dependent to me on how the person affects the quarterback, if they're not the quarterback, and how close the team is to a championship. So in other words, the number one position that I would give up a ton for if I had a quarterback on a rookie scale deal by far and away is offensive line, right? Trent Williams, to me, the San Francisco 49ers, when everybody's healthy, is the best offensive lineman in the league. He's too old. But if Penei Sewell, if I had to give up a first-round pick for him, I'd be thrilled to do that of the Lions. In this case, we're talking about a team, stop me if I'm wrong, that has Super Bowl aspirations, that has picks to spare, that has a quarterback on a contract that they are obviously comfortable with, And thus, they are so close to getting there or maybe winning it that whatever the value is to get a game changer at that age, like Micah Parsons, would feel worth it for that specific team, meaning the Green Bay Packers. It does not feel worth it for every team, right? Like, getting Luka for the Lakers, regardless of what they were going to give up, feels worth it because it was their transition from LeBron to the next person, right? So I don't actually know if there is a number that is too much to give up if you're the Packers for a guy that you think is the equivalent, in essence, of you now have Jordan Love on offense and you have Jordan Love on defense.
That if and this isn't a one-year rental.
This is
you now have a guy for 4 or 5 years, whatever that contract looks like. He will be an elite defensive player as long as he stays healthy for that 4 or 5 year run. You have, in essence, paired a great player on the defensive side of the ball with your quarterback that you believe can be great. And
yeah,
all of a sudden,
by the way, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, Taz. What I was just going to say quickly. We talk about it all the time in terms of, like, you can have this random wide receiver at a Kansas State, I believe is where he went, named Jordy Nelson, who nobody knows that Rodgers can just make great because you have Rodgers, right? You could have guys in the defense that Reggie White can make great because you have Reggie White. I think, Taj, where you're going and where I'm going on this, and to Jason's question about how much value you're giving up, you could have a bunch of C-plus, B-minus players if you have Micah Parsons and Jordan Love, if Jordan Love is what we want him to be, and them raise those guys into B to B plus, and now you have a championship caliber team. Am I wrong?
No. That's the goal. That's the plan, and that is the goal of players that are field tilters make everybody else better. And if they're
Couch,
yes.
You were a good player. Did you have what I deem to be a great career without ever being an all-pro player? Because of the two quarterbacks you had believing
so
in you.
So I'll say this. There is no doubt about that. But also, and this goes for my time at Wisconsin, also in Green Bay, running backs will also make O-linemen a lot better. So the O-line does their job. And you go about your business. You just want to give your guys a chance. And then it's them that makes it special. And Amon Green did that. Favre and Rodgers obviously did that. Ron Dane did that. There is no doubt that those guys will make average players good players great. That is the goal. That's why these guys are such difference makers in your locker room, and that's why typically the Mahomeses and the Bradys, the guys that elevate their players, that's why they win consistently.
Right. Okay, so Jason, let's go back to the initial thing here. So we vetted this out every which way. Right, I am curious as to whether or not you would do this, right? Because I'm not, I'm giving you reasoning as to why the Packers would. I'm not a big give up a first round pick guy in general, although I do think at times we do overvalue them. But in this specific case, okay, in this specific case, Jason Wilde, you are now running the Packers. Goody is out. He won the lottery and he's moving away with his family, and you're in. Okay,
and Jordy's back on the roster.
Jerry Jones calls you and says, you can have Micah, but I want your first this year, your first next year, your second this upcoming year. I want your fifth next year. And I want, who did we say the player was that they were going to give?
David Putney.
Lucas Van Ness.
No. No, he said the other one, I thought.
Rashawn Gary.
I said Rashawn Gary.
Oh, Rashawn Gary. Okay, you said Rashawn Gary. Yeah. And you're going to give us Rashawn Gary. Jason, I need to know right now, are you making that trade?
Yeah, I think this is a transcendent player. I don't think that there are many players.
So now, Jason Wilde.
I would do that for. Okay, yep.
You made the trade. Jason, when you walk and go tell Matt LaFleur that you've made this trade, are you going to tell him you expect to win the Super Bowl this year?
Yes, I'm also doing that.
Urgency.
And Jason, if they don't get to at least the NFC Championship game with that team, are you going to have a conversation with Matt LaFleur after the season that the pressure is on?
Yeah, but if I'm Ed Policy, I'm also having the conversation with Goody and saying, hey, you guys, went all in and acquired this guy. And this is also on you. It's not just on the coach. So, look, I would say this.
So, basically, making the trade decreases the chance at job preservation. But making the trade also increases the chance that you have a street named after you in Green Bay.
Correct. Mm. Oh. Fortune favors the brave, or whatever that
bold,
saying
I think
is.
It was something bold in there.
I would say if they go 10-7 and play a playoff game on the road and lose, there's all kinds of pressure on them anyway, right? They're probably going to get, each of them, Goody and LaFleur, are probably going to get a one-year add-on to their existing contract, so they're not lame ducks, because Ed Policy told us he doesn't want lame ducks, which will be either a precursor to a greater extension when they have tons of success in 26, or a nice little parachute for them when they get fired and they start with somebody else. So you're going to be under pressure next year anyway. And not to be like the Los Angeles Rams, blank them picks, but if you guys don't get to where you want to go here, you're trading away somebody else's picks, right? Theoretically, the 27 first-round pick is going to belong to some other GM. So,
well, now you've just presented a whole different thing. Does Ed Policy say no to trading away them picks because he's not giving away, you know, someone else's
draft pick? And let them do their job.
Right. And I would my argument would be, and again, I don't understand why the Dallas Cowboys – in spite of your drama theory, which I think is a really good one, I just don't understand why they've allowed. They've done this with every single one of their marquee players, and I saw someone totaled up how much more they paid than they would have had they just paid them at the time that they could have. It's ridiculous.
Right.
So it's beyond me that Micah Parsons is where he is.
But first of all, I don't think anymore it's a theory. And I don't mean that to try to correct you. I mean that.
No, I know.
He admitted it. He admitted it. Like Jerry Jones said, if there's not enough attention, I'll draw up the attention. He said it at the movie premiere last week. The second thing is, whatever number that is, okay, let's say they could have saved $20 million by not doing it this way. Mm-hmm. Would any business pay $20 million for the promotion the Dallas Cowboys get on ESPN, me included, on a daily basis? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. The Dallas Cowboys give us so much. We don't make stuff up with the Cowboys. People accuse ESPN like, oh, they're just finding ways to talk with the Cowboys. No, the Cowboys find ways to talk, and thus we find ways to talk about them. But they get so much more than $20 million worth of value that I would look at what Jerry Jones does as his marketing budget is waiting on contracts.
Yeah, and my question for you, because look, this is not my area of expertise. I would ask Craig about this. I would ask other captains of industry. Are the Cowboys, I understand the Netflix documentary, I understand all that. But is it, do they need the marketing to such a degree that they're willing to mess with their chances of actually winning on the field? Like, isn't their brand established enough?
This is where I fight people off.
Okay.
Jason, do you know how many active NFL owners, not families, owners, have more titles than Jerry Jones?
Five.
I can't imagine there's many.
Chiefs. No, there's three.
Nope.
Well, I got the same.
That's the family, not Clark Hunt. Only Robert Kraft. You know how many active general managers, because he's the general manager, have more Super Bowl wins than Jerry Jones?
Zero.
Zero. So when people always say, well, does it really hurt them on the football field? He has done more on the football field than anyone in the National Football League.
Not this century.
Not the Rooney family.
Not this century.
Yeah. Well, okay. And that was my follow-up. My follow-up was, none of our kids, the three of us, have seen any of this at any point. Now, I think we have to understand there is an argument to be made that what he deems to be winning is different than the other 31 teams in the league that deem to be winning. The Packers, when we talk about winning, it's one day in February. When we talk about the Cowboys winning, it's 365 days during the year.
Profound. It's a profound point.
Can I ask one other thing?
Sure.
And I may have missed this, and I apologize if I have. Has there been, like, an all-time great Packers documentary, like we're seeing with some of these sports documentaries that are out there now? I don't mean the Rodgers one and the Favre one that's on Netflix now. I'm saying like a Packers one.
I was going to say, that's not an all-time great documentary. Well, there have been a bunch. I mean, Jason Wilde wrote a book, I remember, not that long ago.
You're funny. Half of one. So the Packers produced on their 100th anniversary, like a, I mean, I think it was on VHS, but or maybe DVD, but they had like a lengthy historical. I think you can actually find it on YouTube now. That the Packers uploaded it after selling copies of the DVD. But to answer your question, no. Like the closest there is because they never want to be on Hard Knocks. They don't want to do that behind the scenes stuff in any way. Like the closest that we've had was America's Team when they do the America's Game. Is that what they call it on NFL Network? That's the closest we've come to anything behind the scenes.
Interesting. All right. Well, I left you with a lot today. There's a lot to digest.
Nice work, Evan. Good job.
I think the number one takeaway is Jesse Nelson changed Barry Alvarez's salary without permission. That's the number one takeaway from this conversation.
Atta babe, gel.
See ya.
Atta babe, gel. That's where we'll end it. Thanks, Evan.
Bye, guys.
What?
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. You can hear him across ESPN Wisconsin and across all of ESPN's platforms every day. On Unsportsmanlike. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Ready to roll, ready to rock, ready to give it all I got. Got a little to win, get it up, get it. Ready to roll, ready to rock, ready to give it one more shot. Let the game begin, give me something to believe in. Ready to roll, ready to rock.
Thanks to Evan Cohen, as always. Makes us think. I am I'm seeing a lot of debates in the YouTube comments. Michael with a hot take. Lucas Van Ness will be more dominant this season than Micah Parsons.
Well, Micah Parsons might not play. So that could very well be. I do think Lucas Van Ness is set for a big boy season. I think his evolution, that I mean, at least that's what we're all hoping for as Packer fans. And, you know, judging by what we've heard, whether it's the Colts practice, it sounds like the Colts offensive line had no answers for Green Bay's D-line. That's fantastic news. That's what we're hoping for. And Lucas Van Ness taking that jump with his new coach and with that is something that this group needs in order to take the next step into being a more dominant defense.
The one thing I would just say about this, because I'm seeing a lot of folks in here mentioning that this isn't going to happen, or that we're wasting time on.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be more than likely right, but there's a lot of stuff that doesn't happen. Stuff does happen. If you recall the Khalil Mack trade. Green Bay was in the mix. Green Bay had...
Yeah, they made an offer, yes. Mm-hmm.
And reports are that Green Bay is in the mix here. Now, again, I don't think it's going to happen. I was very clear about that. But if it could, I want it to. I do want it to happen because you just don't get dominant young players in their prime when you have a team and a quarterback that you believe has a long window to go. That just doesn't happen. Doesn't.
Also, I'm seeing some discussion from Nick and Jim in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments. Peyton Manning working on a Packers documentary. That was said by Mark Murphy at last year's shareholders meeting. I have not seen any update on that since. I don't know if that actually was happening. He did come to camp last year.
I feel like that might be quarterback for this year.
And I, the question was, is there a documentary? There's the 100 Years one that is available. And I have not watched it in its entirety, but what I've watched of it, it is very well done. But there's not like the behind the scenes stuff that you would be looking for from, say, the Cowboys documentary, at least my from what I saw. Now, if Peyton Manning gets that, great, but that it does not exist. And I don't know where the production on that is. But I could guarantee you this, if Peyton Manning does it, I can't wait to watch it, because every year I hope that these guys are going to be on Hard Knocks, and they never are. So, yeah, I would love for that to happen.
I feel like the Packers would do their own and then sell it to a Netflix. I just don't think they're going to give creative control to somebody else. I would be very surprised if they did that. Yeah, and what would be the Jerry Jones, obviously, boom. And then with the Chiefs, you got Mahomes, and you have, what would be the – you're going to try and do a 110-year history of the Green Bay Packers. Good luck.
That's why it's like 10 parts.
You'd have to do, it would be a monstrous undertaking. Now, the transition from Jordan Love to being the starting quarterback would have been fascinating to watch. It would have been. The Aaron Rodgers component to it.
I just don't know how much video there is for a documentary.
And are you going to get Goody? Because what makes these things interesting is Jerry Jones having a tear trickling down his cheek watching the Packers knock out his team, and then having the discussion about that's what makes that intriguing. And you have to open up to do it. If you're just going to tell the history of the G&G, that's great. There's got to be a hook. What is that hook? I don't know. Somebody tell me. I'm all ears. I don't know what that hook is.
I don't
think Goody is going to be super open and giving a ton of info, or I don't think Mark Murphy might have. I'd see Mark. I don't know about Ed. Mark Murphy would have.
Yeah, I don't see them being interested in something like that again. And now, to the point of Mark Murphy having said that a year ago, does Ed Policy want that a year later? Was there? I don't know how far along
they don't even want people watching practice, man. I don't know, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I hope it is. Anytime we can get some behind-the-scenes info, I think fans will eat that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're seeing more and more teams saying, we have to do this. We don't want it to be Hard Knocks. We want to do it. And then we want that bread from whomever's going to pay it. ESPN, Netflix, Peyton, whoever it might be.
And I don't think Peyton operates that way.
Operates what way?
Having the Packers do the documentary and then buys it?
He wants hands on with that. 100%.
Right. Well, we produce Behind the Bucks, one of the many podcasts you can find on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Go behind the scenes of Giannis's Emmy-nominated documentary, hear about the true origins of Bucks in Six and the culture associated with it, and more. Find Behind the Bucks on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.